Luke chapter 9. As I said, we've been looking forward to carrying on this series. We began in December, actually, at the beginning of Luke, and we've been working through that on Sunday mornings. But I thought we'd move that to our Sunday evening slot and do something Old Testament on a Sunday morning for a little while. So that's the plan there. We're this evening then looking at chapter 9, and I've given it the title Jesus All Sufficient. Chapter 9, if you read a little bit more of it another time, or over the next few weeks, has lots of interactions between Jesus and his disciples. Yes, we've got the feeding of 5,000, so there's more people around, but lots of the conversation is between Jesus and his disciples that's highlighted for us in Luke's Gospel here. And there were many things that they needed to learn. That's what seems to be holding together this chapter in many ways. And this is probably the first thing the disciples really needed to get under their belts, get there in their minds, that Jesus was all sufficient. Jesus was everything they needed. And as disciples of the Lord Jesus, hopefully we can learn the same lesson this evening, that Jesus is all sufficient, that he is everything we need. So in the first little section of those verses we had read, verses 1 to 6, we see Jesus sending out the disciples. And they go on a preaching tour, it seems, of the area around Galilee. This seems to be, we're only in chapter 9 of Luke, but actually the Gospels don't tell us the story of Jesus evenly, if you know what I mean, sort of with the same period of time, you know, a chapter a month or something like that. No, it doesn't quite work like that. And so up until this point, we've been looking at the ministry of Jesus. If you turn maybe a page or so, you'll find verse 51 towards the end of chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass that the time had come for him to be received up, that he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. That's where we are in verse 51. And so at that point, Jesus' ministry, especially in the north, in Galilee, is coming to an end. And he heads to Jerusalem. And so we're then into his final bit of ministry down south in Jerusalem and Judea, and heading towards the cross. So that sounds a little strange for us to meet that in end of chapter 9 and through on into chapter 10 and so on. But that's where we are. And perhaps in some ways then, this is the finale in Galilee. This last bit of time Jesus is going to spend there. And Jesus sends his disciples out to go out, probably in twos, told us elsewhere, to go and preach in all these different towns around Galilee, and then to return back to base, probably near Bethsaida, as mentioned later on in verse 10. And so off the disciples go. And they're told in verse 2 to go and preach the kingdom of God. To go and preach that the kingdom of God is here. That was similar to his own ministry. You might remember back in chapter 4 and verse 43, where Jesus went preaching in the cities of Galilee. I must go preaching the kingdom of God, for this is the purpose I've been sent. And Jesus sends them to do the same thing here, to tell people that the kingdom of God is near. That's because the king is near. The kingdom of God is near because the king is here. God's own son, Jesus Christ, the king, is here. And there's now this welcome into the kingdom for any who would believe in him. That's sort of encapsulating the message of this phrase they're using, that the kingdom of God is here. And that's perhaps the first thing we could draw out, that Jesus is all-sufficient. Jesus is everything we need in terms of a message. That's what the disciples had to go and share. This message. This was central to it. Jesus, all-sufficient. The king is here. And as we too follow in the footsteps of Jesus and follow in the footsteps of his disciples, we go out too, preaching the message of the kingdom of God. And our message is Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago we had from London City Mission preached for us from the beginning of the book of Romans. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation. Here the disciples went preaching that message, and that's our And that's true for us today, isn't it? It's the same message we proclaim 2,000 years on as Jesus sends us out as his disciples. As time ticks along towards a general election, people may like to listen to the different thoughts of our politicians and so on, but as we go as Christians preaching, we're not preaching politics or social reform or saving the environment. Well, some of those things may be important, but as Christians, the forefront of our message, the central part of our message, is Jesus Christ and him crucified, isn't it? That the kingdom of God is here, and that men and women and children can enter into the kingdom by faith and become, as we were looking at on Sunday evenings recently in Peter, become citizens of God, citizens of heaven, part of his family, part of his people. As Jesus sends them out, we have this first point, that Jesus is sufficient in terms of the message. Jesus is also sufficient in terms of the power and authority to do that. Jesus was everything they needed. And so he sends them out. Also, we're told in verse 1, he gives them authority over demons and to cure diseases. He sends them out, verse 2, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In that, and Jesus is the one who sends, and the apostles were given this authority to drive out demons. You might remember a couple of weeks ago on Luke chapter 8 how Jesus himself drove out a demon from a man called Legion. Jesus here gives his disciples that power to drive out demons. Jesus had been healing many people. Again, last week we were looking at the end of chapter 8 and we saw how Jesus healed the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. Jesus raised this girl back to life again who died. And the disciples were given authority to heal the sick too. Now Jesus is the one who sends. He sends us. We might not be the same as the apostles really. We don't have the same role, perhaps the same authority. We are not given the same power, really, to drive out demons and to heal the sick. But all the same, as Christians, we do have a role, don't we, to fight against Satan, to highlight, to warn against his evil, to proclaim freedom from Satan's power for those who believe in Jesus. And so we have an authority, perhaps not quite the same as the apostles, in doing these highly significant miracles to highlight their ministry, their eyewitnesses of Jesus. We have a role to play as well in caring for the sick. We might not be able to proclaim all of their diseases healed, but we want to care for them and to point them to Jesus, even in their sufferings as well. Jesus was the one who gave them authority. And again, Jesus is our authority, isn't he? As we go out preaching the good news. Third thing then, Jesus is sufficient, he's everything we need, in provision. And as he sends out the disciples, he tells them to travel light. Verse 3, take nothing for the journey. Not an extra staff, nor a bag, nor food, nor money. Don't take extra clothes. God will provide. He'll provide everything you need. The idea in those verses 3, 4 and 5 is that they're going to go on quite a rapid missionary journey, travelling from place to place. If a town's not interested, verse 5, then move on to new pastures and preach somewhere else. Stay in one town and then move on, and so on. It seems a highly sort of mobile thing. And again, we might read those verses and wonder how they apply to us today? Well, they do and they don't. It's a different sort of time, perhaps. And we see perhaps a little bit of the continuation of that in the book of Acts, don't we? We do see mobile missionaries like Paul and Silas or others who are journeying on a bit like this. Going from place to place, often moving on when there was persecution and so on, heading on to pastures new, as we see that in the book of Acts. But at the same time, we see Paul planting churches in all of those places and later on establishing elders and deacons and groups of God's people in all of these towns. And so perhaps there's two parts to it. There is a mobile missionary emphasis. In the book of Acts, we also have this idea of there being planted churches, of people who stay there, who live in that town, and they work in that town, and they're part of the church in those places too. And so perhaps for us, in our situation now, we do see a bit of that. We see churches being established and planted and so on. A bit like ours here, it's been around for 20 years or so. And we also want to take an interest, though, in outside the church, in missionaries moving up to new places where there isn't an established witness of God's people and so on. But maybe there's a reminder, too, on another level, that as Christians, we need to travel light. That picture came up quite a bit in the book of 1 Peter that we've been looking at recently. Peter keeps addressing them as exiles, travellers, whose home is in heaven, who don't belong here on earth. So perhaps we need to hear those words. I'm not saying we shouldn't have bread, food in our cupboards at home, or money in the bank, and we should only have one item of clothing, and so on. It's not quite like that, but all the same, maybe we, even as Christians living in this land, can put too much attachment to material things, possessions, homes, money in the bank, pensions and saving, those sort of things we think are so important. Here, Jesus wanted his disciples to know that he was sufficient, that he would provide all they needed. And that's a healthy reminder for us, isn't it? I'm not saying get rid of everything and throw away your pension. I think, but all the same, remember, we're not relying on those things. We're relying on Jesus. And perhaps sometimes it can be a little wise to downsize things a little bit, to travel light, remembering our home is in heaven, as we've been thinking. Even Herod hears about this tour of preachers who go about the area of Galilee. They depart, verse 6. Preaching the gospel, healing everywhere. It seems there's massive impact from it. Herod hears of it, and he's sort of a little troubled by his guilty conscience. He, of course, had put John the Baptist to death, and he now wonders whether John's come back to life, or who is this new person he's hearing of, and so on. People begin to wonder who Jesus is. Well, there'll be more answers to that question next time in the next few verses. And the disciples return, verse 10, have a debrief with Jesus, no doubt, hoping for some quiet R&R after their preaching tour. But the crowd have other plans. And the crowd are eager to be with Jesus again. As tired as the disciples might have been, maybe they were feeling a little reluctant, but certainly not Jesus. He was ready to receive the crowd. They followed after him, verse 11, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who had need of healing. There was Jesus, ready to receive. As the day goes by, the disciples are eager for the crowd to be sent away. Verse 12. The 12 come to Jesus and say, send them away, that they may go to the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we're in a deserted place here. Jesus and his disciples had gone out of the way, out into the middle of nowhere, have a bit of peace. The crowd had followed them out into the middle of nowhere. And now the disciples are a bit concerned. Everyone's going to get tired and hungry and cranky. And they're going to need to rest. They're going to need food and so on. And Jesus gives them this very odd question. Well, this very odd statement, verse 13. You give them something to eat. And the disciples reply, that's impossible. We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are we going to do? The answer, of course, was that Jesus was all sufficient. Now, we don't want to be too hard on the disciples for not leaping at that possibility yet. They'd seen Jesus at work, even in these verses before, healing those who needed healing, verse 11. But generally speaking, even what they'd watched from Jesus was that people came one at a time to Jesus and he helped them. Even in the previous chapter, he helped the woman who was bleeding. And then he went with Jairus and healed Jairus' daughter who had died. So Jesus helped one person at a time, it seems. Here's thousands of people in need all at once. And maybe the disciples never even popped into their heads that Jesus could fix a situation like that. And yet Jesus says to them, their immediate thought is of their insufficiency, that they have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, but Jesus doesn't seem to reply to that particularly. And then carries on in verse 14, make them sit down in groups of 50. Jesus takes command of the situation, tells the disciples what to do, get everyone sitting down in groups to effectively aid distribution and the rest of it. It was nice and safe now, there wouldn't be a stampede for food. You know, everyone's sitting down in their groups, everyone can be provided for. And Jesus is just calmly here in control, isn't he? He's the one who's all sufficient. And then verse 16, you of course know these famous words. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to disciples to set before the multitude. What? Civil words. How told us of an astonishing miracle. Luke describes what the eyewitnesses, what the disciples had seen of this. Jesus took in his hands a basket maybe of 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven, he prayed for the food, he broke it, and then it says, and kept giving. It wasn't gave it, as in once, broke it, and then here a bit. He just kept giving. The verb is a sort of continual one. He continually gave to the disciples, until verse 17, so all ate and were filled. Jesus just kept breaking bread and fish, giving one bit to Peter, giving this to Peter. Oh, he went to feed his 50 over one area, he gave some to John, you're going to feed that bit. On these disciples went, kept coming back for more. Jesus kept giving out, they keep going, until everyone has eaten and is filled, and they can go up collecting the scraps, and there's 12 baskets of leftover fragments. It's astonishing. It blows our minds, doesn't it? Think of, what did Jesus do? How did Jesus do it? We know, of course, he's the creator. He's the one who brought all things into being. By him, everything was made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. We're told in Paul's letters, aren't we? He spoke and there was light. He spoke and plants began to grow. On those days of creation, he spoke. And there was whales in the sea and birds flying in the air. He created all these things. And now we see a bit of the creator. Actually, in some ways, compared to that, maybe it doesn't seem as much, but here it was him doing the creating, wasn't it? There, as he took bread, broke it up, and he kept giving. Somehow he kept creating more to give, didn't he? From nothing. From his word, from his power. He was creating more and more bread, more and more fish, to give out to the disciples. So everyone could eat and be full. Everyone had plenty of bread and fish. 12 baskets of leftovers. It's astonishing, isn't it? Jesus is sufficient. He provided that everything these 12,000 men were told, verse 14. So maybe there's a similar number. Did I say 12? Just that? 5,000 men. Verse 14. Whether there were 5,000 women as well? Could be. Whether there are thousands of children with them as well? We don't know. Maybe. Hinted at in those words. Jesus is sufficient. Provides food for them all. John, in his gospel, as he records this miracle, also records a bit of its application. For people came the following day, didn't they? Jesus says, you're after more food, but I'm the bread of life. And there Jesus explains a bit of it. This miracle that Jesus did was also a picture, wasn't it? There was a multitude out in the middle of nowhere. A little bit of a picture reminder back to the another part of the Old Testament to the wilderness, where you have a multitude out there in the middle of nowhere who have no food and are all tired and cranky and complaining then. And God provides manna for them in the wilderness, doesn't he? And here Jesus links the two again in John's Gospel. Moses gave you bread, I gave you bread. Here it is. Jesus has got this multitude. He's doing these Old Testament things. He's the same God who was there, who provided for his people in the wilderness. Now he's providing for his people here. But it's not just giving them bread. He's giving them himself. I am the bread of life. Jesus tells them the next day. And as we think of the picture that's here of these crowd in the middle of nowhere, they've got nothing, they're weak and they're hungry and they're powerless, they're far from home, and there is nothing they can do to remedy the situation. Without Jesus, they're going to faint. Without Jesus, they're going to struggle to make it back to their homes and the rest of it. The disciples, they can offer nothing, they're helpless too. It's a picture, isn't it, of the multitude. Without Christ, in the middle of nowhere, they've got nothing. Nothing to sustain them. Nothing that could take them safely home. Helpless and hopeless. And the only one who can provide, the only one who is the bread of life, is Jesus. And so as we think of Jesus being sufficient, we thought of Jesus being sufficient in the message, Jesus being sufficient in terms of power, Jesus being sufficient in terms of provision. But he's sufficient in himself. I am everything you need, is what Jesus was demonstrating by this miracle. He provides bread for them, yes. And yes, we know. God is the one who provides everything we need. We pray, don't we? Give us this day our daily bread. We thank him for it. We bless our food as we give it out, don't we, in our homes. Yes, Jesus is sufficient. He's the one who provides for our physical needs. But he's the bread of life. He provides everything we need spiritually too, for our spiritual life. We're hopeless and helpless and starving without him. We've got nothing that we can conjure up to give us spiritual life. But he's the bread of life. He's the one who's broken for us. He gives himself. He gives his own body. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, in 1 Peter. And he's the one who provides. Jesus, all sufficient. Is that something that we need to be reminded of this evening? Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you feel hungry. Hungry for something more. Hungry for real life. Because the things of this world do not sustain. Maybe you're hungry, helpless, hopeless, looking for something more. But here is Jesus, the bread of life, the one who can sustain, the one who can provide, the one who gives himself. And that's what Jesus promises us, that we can come to him, that he's the one who will feed us and nourish us and sustain us. He will give us life. He will give us his life. He gave his life for us, that we who are dead in sins might be made alive, that we might discover the one who is all sufficient. So as we look at Luke and carry on our way through these Gospels, come and feed on Jesus. Come and learn more of him and discover the one who is all sufficient. And for those of us who are Christians, well, we need to keep coming back. As we pray, give us our daily bread. We need that physical food every day. We need Jesus every day. Give us this day, Jesus, the bread of life. That should be our prayer as well. As each day we come and read his word, as each day we come and spend time with him in prayer and so on, as we come to learn more of Jesus, all sufficient. As we realise, like the disciples maybe dawned on them, that there was no limit to Jesus. He kept on giving. And we're never going to discover that Jesus' hands are suddenly empty. There's always more we can learn of him, more he can nourish us and feed us with as we discover the life that he gives, the bread of life. As we learn that he's the one who's sufficient, as we go like the disciples sharing his word. He's our message. He's our power. He's our authority. He's the one who provides for our physical needs. He's the one who provides everything we need spiritually too. As we look to Jesus and discover Jesus all sufficient.